I started reading Kara Swisher's Burn Book, A Tech Love Story, last week, and I'm nearly finished. It's been a really fun trip down memory lane to hear about the humble beginnings of some of today's tech giants. She tells stories I've never heard, mostly because a lot of her reporting in those early days was while I was hiding in the stairwell of the English department, reading books where no one could find or interrupt me. Some things never change, but now I'm hiding in my car where no one can find me, reading her book. Chapter 4, Search Me, details her days as a beat reporter covering Google. As an aside, how she describes Larry Page and Sergey Brin is amazing. She calls them the twins and refers to them in that way throughout the entire book. She will have you calling them the same if you read it, and I recommend you do. As she tells the story of a strange and wildly unfunny Larry Page and an affable Sergey Brin, she details how they took Yahoo down to become the rulers of the internet. It got me thinking about how we knew nothing about SEO in the early days, and then we went from that to challenging Andy Christodina in search ranking battles to becoming sophisticated in how digital PR affects everything we do online, and how the work that we as communicators do affects SEO is precisely what I'd like to discuss with you on this week's Spin Sucks podcast episode.
If you're a communications pro who works hard, doesn't compromise quality, and gets the job done, welcome home. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories, and together we will change the face of PR. Spin sucks, but we don't. With the Spin Sucks podcast, here's Jenny Dietrich.
Welcome back to the Spin Sucks podcast. I'm Jenny Dietrich. Back in the day, SEO was all about the almighty link. SEO experts understood that if they could secure a link from a high domain authority site, think the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, all of their SEO goals could be met in one fell swoop. Not unlike a CEO expecting a feature article in one of those publications, eh? So they went to work doing media relations to have one of those websites link back to the organization's website. And it worked. Heck, it still works. But it's a bit more nuanced today than it was back then. In the early days, all you had to do was create a list of industry websites that had a higher domain authority score than your own and pitch contributed content. Once accepted, your job was to ensure the article had a link to your website using a priority keyword as your anchor text. It's gotten a lot more complicated since then, which is what we're going to discuss today. As Google gets smarter and works to stay ahead of ChatGPT, they are using AI that acts more human-like to evaluate a brand's online reputation. That means it's no longer just about links and brand mentions. It's now about an organization's products or services, customer journey touchpoints, and all of the information it has online across various platforms. To give you an example of what this looks like in real life, I asked both Google and ChatGPT what a Spin Sucks. Of course, Google did return lots of links, including many of our own, but it also returned a snippet about the business, a snippet about the book, my author page on Amazon, and some LinkedIn posts. None of these have links to spinsucks.com. Google returned the results based on the reputation of the business. Now, I asked ChatGPT the same question. It returns a paragraph about who founded it, me, when, and a quick history of its humble beginnings. And then it discusses its evolution into a media company that now offers online courses, professional development, and the PESO model certification. It walks you through our vision, covered topics, and advocacy work. None of this is based on links. It's all reputation. So if we sit and we think about it and we think, okay, how is this going to affect the work that we do? We want to kind of figure out how both are doing this. Getting information from Google about how they rank content is typically pretty challenging. Still, their search quality evaluator guidelines explicitly tell us how to evaluate a website and its content creators' reputations. I'll link to both documents in the show notes if you want to take a look, but they're pretty laborious to read through, so I'm going to give you a synopsis. But first, let me quote one thing of importance. They say reputation research should be performed according to the page's topic. For example, if the page contains medical information, you should research the reputation of the website and content creator for providing medical information. A website can be a go-to source for one type of content, such as humorous videos, but an untrustworthy source for a different kind of content, such as financial information. Makes sense, right? So Spin Sucks is a go-to resource for communications, but definitely not for financial or healthcare or medical information or HR information or accounting information. You get the point. As you investigate how they're providing search results based on reputation, you realize what we've been discussing all year is the most important indicator: experience, expertise, authority, and trust, or EEAT, EAT. The Google automated systems are designed to use hundreds, if not thousands, of factors to rank great content. After the robot overlords identify relevant content, the system then works to prioritize the content that seems most helpful to what this person is searching. To do this, they examine which content demonstrates experience, expertise, authority, and trust. And voila, your content appears above the fold in search results. So they look for relevant content, prioritize it, examine EEAT, and serve it up to the searcher. That's why, in many cases, they deliver content that's snippets of information and not links to that content. This is also how Google Home, that's how they get it too. It's snippets of information and not links to that content. Trust, or reputation, is the most important of these. Experience, expertise, and authority contribute to trustworthiness. But the content doesn't necessarily have to contain all four. If you focus on creating content that does those four things, you will always rank in search results in generative AI. That's great news for communicators. No longer is SEO solely about building links. It's about cultivating a website's reputation through its content, subject matter experts, executives, and products or services. And that's what we do. We do it better than anyone else, including SEO experts and marketers. In just a minute, I'll be back to discuss using customer stories, thought leadership, expert commentary, storytelling, and more, using your communication skills to improve your SEO. I'll be right back. There are two things I want you to know about. The first is the Fundamentals of Media Measurement course that we just launched with Muckrack, and the second is the PESO Model Certification. Both will help you evolve your career this year as you learn how to measure your work using the PESO model to get you there. The Fundamentals of Media Measurement course can teach you how to measure your earned media efforts, create a successful measurement strategy, and report on your success. It will take you about 2 hours, but it has quick, bite-sized lessons you can take when convenient. It has actionable tips, step-by-step approaches, and examples from Jonna Burke, Christopher Penn, and me. Go to mrack.co/spinsucks to learn more, get registered, and start your measurement journey today. That's mrack.co/spinsucks. Please be sure to use that link because I get a gold star every time someone registers, and I love gold stars. And for those of you who need to evolve your career, learn how to integrate the work you do with marketing and amp up your measurement efforts, the PESO Model Certification is for you. Step up your game with an academically accredited PESO Model Certification from Spin Sucks and the SI Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Learn more about that by going to spinsucks.com/academy, or you can go to spinsucks.com and click on Academy in the navigation. And now, back to the show. Welcome back. We've discussed how EEAT affects search rankings and generative search. Now I'd like to explain why we are best suited to do this work. Back in the day, SEO was all about links, brand mentions, follow links, domain authority, guest articles, and fixing broken links. In some cases, much of this still works. Guest articles still work. But it has to be more than just an email to a webmaster saying, I see this link in this article is broken. How about replacing it with this link? Trust me, I get a handful of those emails every day. And guess what? Most of the links they claim are broken? Not true. So I just delete the emails now. Contributed content still works. So does having a link to your website from a site with a higher domain authority than your own. But those things are just the top, what Google said they use to find relevant content. Once they figure out if it's relevant, then they have to prioritize it, and then they have to rank it based on EEAT. So your job's not finished yet. That contributed content, it should tell a story. It should be about the customer journey, a customer story, a data-driven story, or expert commentary. All of those things will demonstrate the experience and expertise of the organization and its subject matter experts. And the link included in the article? It should have anchor text that leads readers, viewers, or listeners to a podcast episode on the same topic, some thought leadership from your executives, or even recent media coverage you have housed in the newsroom on your website. It doesn't have to be just contributed content either. It can be any content housed somewhere other than your own site. Media placements, a newsletter, such as Substack or Medium, podcasts, social media posts, review sites, and more. Now that you understand how to make your content relevant, let's talk about the EEAT part. The key traits of digital PR as they relate to SEO are topical field of expertise, proof of that expertise, data-driven storytelling, industry influence, relevance to your audience, and customer journey. With expertise, you can consider individuals such as your executives or subject matter experts and organizational aspects such as culture, niche, or product or service. To determine the expertise, you should consider the depth of knowledge, experience and practice, and demonstrated skills. For instance, the last person you want to advise you on accounting is me. I don't have any experience or practice doing it. I don't have a depth of knowledge, nor do I have demonstrated skills. But if you want to know about cycling, anything about cycling, okay, or communications, I'm your person. As you build the expertise part of your EEAT process, look internally at who demonstrates those four things. Once you have your experts lined up, build your resource library, the type of things they can speak to. This might include unique research, customer stories, expert commentary, and/or in-depth knowledge about your products or services. For instance, when I started speaking, I bemoaned to a mentor that I had all of these great opportunities to get on stage, but no one was hiring us. He said, "That's because you don't speak to your experience." And I don't mean selling from the stage. Rather, I mean crafting stories around the work that you do. If you do that, the phone won't stop ringing because they have experienced how you have helped organizations like theirs. And he was right. Once I started educating my audience and saying, "When we did this for client X, their challenge was Y, and we solved it in this way," that's when people started emailing me, today's version of a phone call, because they had the same problem and wanted our help solving it. This proof of expertise should influence others to take action. The combination of experience and expertise will create trust and authority, and you will be well on your way to improving your search rankings and correlating your efforts to the organization's goals. And here's the deal, my friends. The SEO journals are all touting the advantage of digital PR and encouraging experts to use it to improve their search rankings, particularly in the era of generative search. If what I get in my inbox is any indication, they're not good at it. They have no idea how to build relationships, tell stories, or build reputation. They are accustomed to spraying and praying in the hopes of getting the almighty link back. The relationships, the storytelling, the reputation building, this is what we do. It's what we're experts in doing. Call it SEO or digital PR or whatever the heck you want, but no one does this better than communicators. So get out there and do what you're good at doing. If you do that, you'll improve your search ranking simply because you're better at this than anyone else. Before I go, I would love it if you would leave a review, especially if you like what you've heard. And if you'd like to learn more about how SEO and digital PR work hand in hand and you're not already a part of the SpinSucks community, come on over. We're there for you. We want to have you. You can find us at spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. That's spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. It's a community full of crazy smart professionals. It's free, it's fun, it's smart, and you might just learn a thing or two from your peers. I'll see you next week.
If you're ready to change the face of PR, make sure you subscribe to the Spin Sucks podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review.